You know me. It's BBC Lincolnshire, 94.9 FM. Now, it must be devastating to lose a child at any age, but when Nicholas Streeton's son was just 2 years old, he was diagnosed with heart problems and died after surgery. Well, now, 16 years on, Nicola is able to talk about that time and explain how she was feeling and coped with the loss. It's a fascinating book because it's a large book, but it's not full of lots of writing because there's lots of illustrations in here as well. Nicola, this is part of the key, really, because I think at the time you were going through this dreadful loss, you sort of helped yourself by doing some sort of humorous cartoon-type drawings, didn't you?
Yes, that's right. After Billy died, I was writing a journal that I've referred to make this graphic novel, but I also started drawing, as you say, little cartoons with incorporating image and text, and they became greetings cards that kick-started my career as an illustrator. So 16 years on, I've been working as a freelance illustrator, which has been fantastic, but I was ready for a new challenge to do something of my own work as an illustrator rather than respond simply to commissions. So this is where the graphic novel has come. I thought it's not illustration, graphic novel. It's, for anyone who doesn't know what a graphic novel is, and why should you, it's a comic book, which makes more sense. And so it's a way of using image and text, incorporating them. So it's not straightforward illustration. Illustration, which I had been doing, is responding to copy. So you see it in magazines and it sums up what the article says.
Yeah, people will relate to this as comic.
Yes, yes.
Because, you know, you've got the balloon phrases and those sorts of things. And it works very well. Did you find that it was a good way of you expressing yourself? Was it a bit like doodling at the time, do you think? To get through difficult times?
At the very beginning, when I started drawing 16 years ago, it was my catharsis. The writing and the drawing was everything coming out in a very private way, and the whole experience, for anyone who's had any kind of loss or pain or grief, or from whatever reasons, divorce or death of somebody close, it's a very, very personal and private moment, and you need to unburden it in some way at the time. But I've come back to it 16 years on in a very different way, because it's not raw in that sense.
But here you are, this is you, in the middle of this book here. After Billy died, I found my mind competing with itself to try and make it all my fault.
Yes.
Those sort of things that are going through your mind, how do you cope with all those emotions going on at the time?
Well, for myself and John, and I think it's important to say that anyone who does suffer a loss or a grief of a child or anyone else close, everyone's grieving process is going to be different. And this is a personal story from my own individual perspective. It's not a fact. I'm not presenting myself as an expert. What I wanted to do with this graphic novel was not to do it to elicit pity, to say, look at me, poor me, and specifically my individual story, but to create an empathy with the reader, and so that the reader could cling on to something, widen it out. So you might not have had a child that's died or so on. You might be a man with no children, but there's something in that book that will pick up and you'll say, oh yeah, I recognize that, and you might either learn something from it or question, because I think that's what I've done 16 years on, is, and at the time was questioning. And sorry, to answer your question now, so John and I at the time, and it's in the book, we both strongly believe still in the talking cure, and so we both saw psychotherapists during the time, quite up until Sally was born.
This is your daughter, is it?
Yes, we had a child a year later. After Billy died, we had a daughter who's now 14.
Did you find one of the most difficult things, we're going to talk about Billy in a moment, was that people didn't talk to you at the time? Do you think people find it difficult to talk to someone who's lost somebody?
Well, again, that's a page in the book, and I don't know, it depends a lot on the person. For me, I talked to them, so they responded, but I think if your personality is a bit shyer, perhaps people don't mention it, and I know myself, although I've written a book of it, and you might think I'm an expert, I now make the same mistakes that I judged other people in the book on.
Is it because we feel uncomfortable?
Yes, and because it's not, I think now we're in a society where 100 years ago, it would have been very fixed. It was a very strong religious framework that we lived in. So if somebody died, there would be a fixed stages of what, how you behave, what you wear, what you do. And of course, we're very happy to have the freedom now in the country, in the culture we live in. But on the other hand, when it happens to you, it's quite hard to know, if you don't have religion, how to behave and how to think. So you create, as you were talking, referring to earlier, you create little superstitions. Is it my fault? And by seeing someone who's a trained psychologist, you can bounce those ideas and they will help you through it, and to each other. John and I talk to each other throughout as well.
Nicola, stay with me if you would. We're going to talk about more about this book, Billy, Me and You, with Nicola Streeton. Fascinating book. This has actually come together because when Nicola's son Billy was just 2 years old, he was diagnosed with heart problems and died after surgery. We're going to talk a bit more about the book and the illustrations in here, comic style, and you know, I mean that in the best possible way, because it is easy to understand that by just explaining the illustrations are comic style and the writing in sort of bubble form so that we can see what's going on. Dramatic images, and I think what is quite interesting, I think, is a point to raise here, that sometimes when you're dealing with a difficult subject like this, people would find it difficult to wade through pages and pages and pages of text. With this, we can see the point you're getting at through the illustrations and the text as well.
Exactly. And thinking back to myself in the hospital after Billy died, I actually devoured every book I could find or magazine. But I am a natural, I enjoy reading, but I'm aware that lots of my friends just don't really enjoy reading prose. So again, to have this, the comic form, the graphic novel form of interaction of text and images, a very democratic form, and we all have memories of the Beano or Superman, although I'm not saying this is the style of my drawing here is very loose. It's a very clean line and quite inaccurate, so it's not about cross-hatching and colour. It's a simple to look at loose line, and that was intentional on my part because I wanted it to be imperfect, like life, and also very simple. So even the writing is hand-drawn. That was a very important conscious decision.
Do you think your style changed over time as well? That the more you were doing illustrations, the more you were doing the cartoon drawings, did your technique change, do you feel?
Well, I started this graphic novel project in 2007. And so this graphic novel style, that the drawing I've put in here, is very different to my commercial illustration style, or quite different, but it's recognisable as mine.
Take me back 16 years, if you would. I know it's difficult to talk, but let's talk about Billy. Tell me about Billy.
Well, he was a lovely little boy, and we had a great time with him for 2 years. And he did, after a year, he had coughs and colds that seemed... So he was a healthy baby when he was born. There was nothing found wrong with him. But then he developed coughs and colds, and then 1 year was diagnosed with pneumonia that was treated with antibiotics. But there was a shadow on his lung that didn't go away. And that meant that in that situation, it means they want to do more tests. So they did tests for a range of things, for example, you know, cancer and TB, that sort of thing. And loads of different tests, but over months. So, and he was well. He was still running around and being having a good time. And we thought it was, with the doctors, it was probably just some form of asthma. So although that is quite serious, it can be managed and carry on. So then the next test that came up was at the Royal Brompton Hospital for lung test. And when they did a routine heart check before he went down for anaesthetic, and they said discovered three deformities of his heart, and those deformities had been working together to make him, to keep him alive, in effect. That's how the wonder of nature. And what the symptoms were was pulmonary hypertension, which was the shortness of breath. And they said so we had a meeting with the doctors that we agreed with them that an operation to correct the problems would be the best way forward. And that went ahead 10 days later. But the operation was successful. But unfortunately, sadly, Billy died afterwards in intensive care. So what that meant for us was between the diagnosis and him dying was 10 days. Before that, as far as we understood, he had something that was chronic, a type of asthma. So it was, you can imagine, John and I were thrown into this complete state of shock as well as grief and disbelief in the hospital at that
time.
And
how do you cope with those mixed emotions at that time? Because you had no warning that this was a life-threatening condition.
Yes, and in a sense, you know, that was, we were quite lucky to have that, because I think it, if we had known he was ill from birth, perhaps we wouldn't have taken risks. You know, we might have cotton-wooled him a little bit in our parenting, and so it's hard to know. And it's hard to know now, because 16 years on, this graphic novel I've done is based on memory and the facts in a journal. So it's how one's memory changes over time to create a narrative. And also the book is about how we did cope afterwards.
Was it important to you to keep that journal at the time as well?
Oh,
did that
so
help
important.
You?
Yes, for me, because I like reading and writing, it was the catharsis part of it. The graphic novel that I've done now, beginning 4 years ago, is not a catharsis. It's a work of art, as far as I can see, and that's how I've approached it. So it's a very different type of work. If I'd done it at the time, this graphic novel, it would be a very different story, and I suspect it might be about poor me. It might have that message, whereas now I'm thinking, well, how interesting that this happened around me, and why do we respond in this way? Why do we say to people, oh, never mind, you can have another baby? You know, these funny things that, yeah, we come out in a nervous, not knowing how to behave. Why do we have that?
So it's because we're, again, this word that we've said, being uncomfortable. You,
yes,
don't know what to say to somebody in a difficult,
yes,
situation.
Yes.
At the time you were in London,
yes,
you've moved to Lincolnshire. Was that always on the cards, that you would move to the countryside?
No, and I think anyone who's suffered some sort of traumatic experience will recognise the emotions that come with it, of all emotions, so happiness, sadness, anger, all those things that happen, but also a freedom of, well, the worst has happened. Well, we can take risks now. We can do whatever we want, because nothing could happen to us as bad as that. So that's, I think, what John and I were like following Billy's death for longer than we thought. In retrospect, it was probably a good 5 years.
And you have a daughter?
Yes.
How old is your daughter now?
So she's now 14 years old, and we moved to Lincolnshire 12 years ago when she was 2 and a half. So she's had a great life here in lovely Lincolnshire.
And you came here and you've renovated a property. Mm-hmm. Again, would you have even dreamt of doing that years ago when you were in London? Did you ever think you would come and renovate a property in Lincolnshire?
Well, I think it was one of those things that was a dream when we were in our life with Billy in London, in our flat there. But I think we wouldn't have been brave enough to do it, because we moved to Lincolnshire not really knowing where Lincolnshire was before we came to look at the property, and we have no relatives in Lincolnshire or had no friends, so I'm not sure now if we would do that. It's only because...
Yeah. Are you pleased with the book? Because it is very different for people who pick this up for the first time. Does it do what you wanted it to do?
I am absolutely delighted with it. It's been, it sounds a very odd thing to say, but it's been the best year creatively for me, making this about the worst thing that happens to me in my life. And what has made it fantastic is working with Myriad Editions, who are the publisher of this book, and who approached me to publish it. They saw little parts of it, and working with Corinne Perlman, who's the creative director, over the last year has been an absolute insight and brilliant for me, a real privilege to work with that publisher. They took it on. They mostly publish fiction, but they have a very small line of graphic novels, and the uniqueness of this publisher is that they work very closely with their authors, and I think that's very lucky for me to have been taken on by them. And I'm delighted with how it looks and how it's been responded to.
Nicola, thank you very much indeed for your time. I'm going to take some photographs. We'll pop you on our Facebook page as well. Nicola Streeton with her book Billy, Me and You. It's BBC Lincolnshire 94.9 FM.